My name's Doug Jones. I'm a lawyer here in Birmingham, and I'm a candidate for the United States Senate in the special election to be held on December 12th.
Yeah. Well, I guess just to give us a place to start, obviously, the big thing now are these allegations against Roy Moore, and your campaign has mostly stayed silent about that. But with the initial allegations in the Washington Post, your campaign put out a statement saying Roy Moore needs to address these allegations. Right. What constitutes addressing these allegations?
Well, I was hoping that we would see a little bit more. Obviously, answering the allegations has just been a flat denial, and that's his prerogative. We have said as we've gone forward that, like so many people around the country, including fellow Republicans from one end of the country to the other, the credibility of the allegations and the statements of these women in Etowah County seem to have a lot more credibility than denials that he's made or denials made by his handlers. So we'll see how that goes.
What does this do for your campaign?
Well, we're staying in our lane as best we can. Obviously, to some extent, it's a distraction. I mean, we like talking about the issues, and we'll get into those, I'm sure, in a few minutes. So it's somewhat of a distraction for us having to deal with it because that's all that seems like the media wants to talk about. And I think that's really unfortunate for the people of the state of Alabama who really, you know, have issues about jobs and health care and those kind of things. So, but we're staying in those. We're going to continue to talk about them and we'll address the broader concerns as they arise.
Well, there has been some discussion in Republican circles of potentially moving this election. Governor Kay Ivey at this point has said she is not going to do that. But what do you think of that?
Well, if they're going to move it, let's move it up. Let's move it to like tomorrow and just get all of this behind us one way or another. You know, look, I don't think she can move this election. This is not a natural disaster or anything like that. I don't think there is any legal way that she can move this election. And she seemed to indicate that she has no intention or no real thought about moving the election. So we'll just let this play out for the remaining time that we have in this race.
Does this just energize his base?
I don't know what it does. I'm not concerned about that. We're talking about the issues to our people, and that's really what concerns us. In that regard, we're not changing our focus at all on that. We know what we feel like we've got to do to win this race. We believe that we had the wind in our back even before this happened. There was so much momentum out there, and it was growing, and you could feel it everywhere we went. So we're not changing that strategy at all. We'll have to deal with issues when they come up, and we're asked about them. But our campaign is staying on message and staying on course.
Yeah. Well, one other question before we leave this topic. You know, we've seen this split within the Republican Party where you have Republicans in Washington, particularly in Congress, who have called on Roy Moore to step aside. State Republicans in Alabama, the state GOP, and also county leaders have not. I mean, what do you make of that split between the local and the national level?
You know, look, if people believe the allegations have more credibility than the denials, it's unfortunate, I think, that people are putting party politics and party loyalty above what's in the best interest of this state. And that's all that is, I think, is just pure party loyalty and party power. And I think that at the same time, we as a state need to be looking at what's going to be our best foot forward. And that's where I would hope both parties to be right now. It doesn't seem to be that way in the state, but that's their problem. It's their issue. It's not mine. We're going to stay in our lane in terms of our issues and talk about the things that we believe that this campaign can do for the people of the state of Alabama.
Well, in terms of issues in the campaign, you have what you've termed kitchen table issues that you've been talking about. You know, one of the things you've been talking about is the Affordable Care Act, and you've said that you're disturbed by efforts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, but you do think it needs improvement. What improvements do you think it needs?
Well, let's talk about the process initially. The Affordable Care Act was passed in a way that probably was not good for the politics of it. I think everybody recognizes that now. But yet it was an incredibly good first step in trying to fix a broken healthcare system. And that's getting lost all this because as soon as that bill was passed, then the opposite political party decided to attach a name to it and do nothing about repeal. Repeal, repeal. You know, I forget dozens of votes that they knew were not going to go anywhere. Then the whole political mantra became repeal and replace, which is just playing political football with our healthcare system. And they crafted some bills to replace that really were going to hurt the people of the state. We're a very unhealthy state. We're a poor state. We're like sixth poor state in the country. It is a shame. It is a crying shame that we did not expand Medicaid in this state purely for political reasons. I think people have to understand that. That was not done for any reason other than politics. And that is unfortunate. That's, again, putting party above the best interests of this state. If we expanded Medicaid, we'd have had billions of dollars coming in. Hospitals would have been saved. Rural health care would have been saved. But we didn't do that. And so going back, the Affordable Care Act was never supposed to be the end of the discussion on health care. It was a monumental first step, but it was always going to be a work in progress. As things develop, who was signing up? Who was enrolling? How are the markets conditioning to this change that we've had going on in the country? You know, and it's been pluses and minuses. I mean, the pluses are that we have so many more people in this state that are covered by health insurance that had never been covered before. And that's a good thing. I met with somebody the other day who literally his life was saved when he was going to the emergency room for a pill to manage symptoms. And when he got health insurance, he discovered he had cancer. And that's been treated, and it saved his life. On the other hand, a lot of people's insurance premiums have gone up. And that is in part because of the uncertainty of insurance markets with all the political gamesmanship going on. So there's a lot of things I think that can be done in terms of having the hearings and getting this out in the open of what's working with the Affordable Care Act, not what's not working. I'm not an expert. This is not something that I was in the medical field or the healthcare delivery field. I'm learning about this. I need to learn more to see what's happening. One thing that I think is that could be a very important option, and that is a public option for health insurance. I think if you had kind of a public option, and I'm not talking about universal, you know, Medicare for all, but I'm talking about an option that would let people buy in to a government-sponsored option plan. I think that would help stabilize the markets. It could be affordable. It would be a Medicare-type plan, which everybody recognizes is one of the best healthcare plans that's out there right now. Those are options I think that we need to look at, and some specifics that I would like to look at, you know, once I get there. But the main thing is to try to get it all out and open, not do it behind closed doors and, you know, come out on the Senate floor and say it's our way or the highway. That's not the way the Senate's supposed to operate.
Well, when you talk about the economy, you specifically talk about small businesses and say mm-hmm. those are important, and particularly regulations on small businesses. And your campaign material says you need to streamline regulations. What specific regulations do you see as inhibiting small businesses?
Well again, I think you can get strangled in red tape. I think there's so much paperwork that you can get strangled in red tape. And I think that can always be streamlined, especially in the digital age that we have now. I think anything that we can do to make the business life simpler to comply with the regulations that are out there. Because remember, regulations are not designed simply to, quote, regulate in the sense of being a burden. A lot of these regulations are protections. You know, it's regulations that gave us clean water, clean air, that gave us safe drugs, that gave us, you know, all safe products. Those are protections that I think have to be in place. But at the same time, we've got to make sure that there is a compliance program for businesses that they can live with, that they don't spend as much money on compliance as they do on trying to get their jobs done. So I think there are things like that. And obviously with the myriad of regulations that are out there right now that are on businesses, large and small, a lot of those are going to be very industry specific. And I think once, you know, I was talking to folks with the National Association of Manufacturers today, you know, they want to help do that, too. They recognize, and I think everybody recognizes the need for those protections and how that's helped American society. But I want to work with folks like that to try to figure out the best way to not remove the protections, but at the same time streamline them and make them cost efficient.
You said you are in support of a living wage. Does that mean the, say, a $15 an hour minimum wage that you hear some Democrats talk about?
You know, my gut reaction tells me that's a little high, okay? And it may be we do something for a minimum wage that may not be across the board because there are differences among the states in different regions that where the cost of living is more. And the cost of business is more, so we might can use a couple of different tiers, but we got to be careful that we don't get in Alabama, we don't get stuck in just the absolute bottom. I'd like to see where things are, just as a gut reaction almost, without having to do all of the analysis. Again, I'm not the accountant or the economist. It would seem to me that trying to raise the minimum wage to at least around $10 an hour at least boosts that. And I think you can do that and still not sacrifice businesses, not try to get, run businesses out and make it so costly that it would hurt the businesses. Businesses in this country have rebounded considerably better than wages in this country. We still have an income gap and wages have been somewhat stagnant. Even though the unemployment is down, wages are not up that much. In fact, I read something the other day about the minimum wage, which is only $7.25 at this stage. And it was last raised in 2009. And since that time, because of the Depression and things like that, the actual purchasing power of that $7.25 has gone down 9%. But yet the stock market and the value of companies and businesses and the profits of companies have gone up. So I think now is the perfect time to try to get those wages up that's not going to hurt businesses.
In terms of the economy, you also talk about the value of education, the fact that those two are intertwined. But education largely is a state and local matter. What do you see being done from Washington or needs to be done from Washington in terms of education?
Well, there's still a lot of federal dollars that come into Alabama on education. Again, we're a pretty poor state. And so there's a lot of education dollars that come in for various programs. And, when you talk about education, people tend to think about it in terms of K-12. And obviously that's very important, and you've got to look at things. I want to protect public schools. I'm a very big public school advocate, and I want to protect those. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that charter schools are a bad thing in my view. I think they can be a good thing. I'm a lot more reluctant with these voucher programs that taxpayers can use to fund private schools. That, to me, is just not a good idea, and I'm afraid in this state, it would be funding schools that are not going to be as good and that came up in order to promote segregation laws over the years. And so I'm a little bit reluctant of that. But K-12 is important, and that's where I think states do have the primary responsibility. But I also think that there's money coming in, and we need to look beyond K-12. We need to look at what we can do in early childhood education and investments in preschool. I think those are some of the best investments that you can make in education. And in terms of four-year colleges, you've got Pell Grants and other things where there are a lot of low-income students in this state that depend on those Pell Grants to get a four-year degree or even a two-year degree. I toured the Muscle Shoals Community College the other day. And it was a wonderful facility up there. And they've got a partnership with their local businesses. And you go in and there's a lot of federal money that goes to buy the machine shop. There's a lot of money, federal monies that they've gotten through grants with the Department of Labor, Department of Education, to buy the machines that will train those kids and adults in a new technology and a new manufacturing. We went through several of those places, and so there's those junior colleges, and we've got a really good junior college system. It's had its issues in the past, but in terms of trying to educate the workforce for the 21st century, that's something that we need to promote. We don't, not every kid in the state needs to or has to go to four-year college to get a great education and to have a good living. It's those manufacturing jobs and it's those trade skills that really built this middle class that we see evaporating now. So I think education is going to be a key, not only for our kids, but for young adults and for adults that might lose their jobs down the road through automation or some other kind of private sector industry that is getting phased out in the state. We want to attract new jobs, and we need to be able to train the folks for those new jobs. And the two-year college program and other programs like that, I think, are perfect.
Well, you are supportive of abortion rights, and this is something that Republicans have attacked you for. You said you fully support a woman's freedom to choose what happens to her own body. And I just want to clarify, do you see any limits on abortion?
Sure. Look, I believe that is an intensely, intensely personal decision. I think anything involving a pregnancy like that has got to be a decision made between a woman and her family, her partner, her husband, her significant other, whatever, and her faith and her physician. And for decades, the law has supported that. And I think by and large, the people of Alabama support that. But having said that, there has also been for decades limits on late term procedures. And those are only reserved for cases of medical necessity. And despite what everybody has said, that's what I support, and that I continue to support that for those late-term procedures. But I do believe it's an issue that I just should not, and I don't think Roy Moore or anyone else should have that decision. And I don't think that people in this state support the extreme view on the other side that a woman should not be able to make that choice, even if she had been raped, even in the case of incest or other medical necessity reasons. I think that that is the extreme view in this. My view has been one that has been consistent with the law for decades, and I believe that will continue to be the law going forward, and that's what I support.
Well, there's certainly some voters who don't like Roy Moore. They may agree with you on a number of different issues, but abortion is a very important issue to them personally. I guess, what do you say to those folks that can't see eye to eye in what you just outlined?
I tell them I respect their decision. Those are very personal decisions. They have their well-meaning, and I understand that. I have a lot of friends of mine feel that way, and it is a decision that touches on faith, and I would just say, look, let's understand, but let's try to find some common ground on other issues that relate to that. And that would be that, first of all, nobody's for those procedures. Let's make clear, nobody's for those procedures. So let's together, instead of fighting over the procedures, let's try to find a way to reduce the number of women who have to make those choices. And let's talk about access to contraceptive and contraceptions and health care and women's health and prenatal health and postnatal, you know, after birth health. Let's talk about those issues that I think we can find that common ground on. And let's talk about adoption. Let's try to streamline adoptions and make it where adoptions can be more affordable and is a real option for folks out there. And, you know, it's interesting in some of the tax packages that are floating around right now, it seems that the tax credits for adoptions are being stripped away. That just doesn't make any sense to me. If you want to try to really reduce the number of procedures in this country, let's encourage adoptions. Let's encourage access to contraception. And those are issues that we can find common ground on. Instead of fighting on the thing that we can't, let's try to find the common ground and move forward together to try to make it a reality to get those procedures down as low as possible and hopefully to zero.
As you know, Alabama is a generally conservative state, and there are some voters that, you know, may not like Roy Moore, particularly after the allegations have come out, but that D beside your name is just too much for them. You know, they can't cross over, even if they don't like the option on the other side. I assume you want those voters.
I want all voters. I think unfortunately you're right, and the opposite is true too. There are certain voters that will not vote for Roy Moore simply because he's got an R by his name, and I think that's unfortunate for everybody. I think right now, Andrew, we are at a tipping point in this state where people need to hit a political reset button and start looking at issues. You know, we need to be asking people that are putting themselves up for office, instead of the first question being, are you a Republican or are you a Democrat, people need to be saying, so what's your purpose? What are you going to be running on? What is it that you're going to do for the people of this state? And let that question about the political affiliation be way down the line. And because you don't want to, you get defined before you're even heard. And that's unfortunate. And so, and I say that for both sides. I say that not just as a Democrat in what has been a Republican state. I say that to my Republican friends, that let the folks who've been voting Democrat hear you out first, because that's the only way I think we can move forward as a state. It's the only way I think that we can have the dialogues instead of monologues. And so that's the messages that we've been trying to give. Talk to us. Listen to what we have to say. Don't define me. until you talk to me. And I don't think that's too much to ask of the people of this state. They demand a lot. I think candidates can demand at least a little bit of sensitivity to hear me out before you make your before you define me.
How important is the African-American vote to your success?
Well, it's obviously important. I mean, traditionally, that has been the Democratic vote. And it's very important. But also, I think that I've told those I've told the churches and others that I've spoke to do the same thing. Examine the issues. Now, I think I've got a really good history with the African-American community in this state that Roy Moore does not have. And so I think that if everyone does hit that reset button, I think I'm still going to get a good bit of support from that. We're welcoming that. We're encouraging that, obviously. And I think it's so it's, you know, I'd be silly to say it's not important. It's very important.
Do you have specific outreach programs to black voters?
We have outreach voters to outreach programs to black voters, to white voters, to male voters, to women voters, to Hispanic voters, to Muslim voters, to Christian voters, you name it. We have got an outreach program like this state hadn't seen in a long time.
Do you have a view on term limits?
Well, you know, I've been asked that a few times, and at my age, it's really not an issue, is what I tell them. But, you know, I would tend to favor term limits, you know, a couple of terms for a senator, although this is a half a term here, and I'm hoping to serve out a couple more after this. I think I would tend to favor term limits. I don't want to limit the House to only like 6 years or something. But I will tell you, in all candor, it's not something I'm going to spend a lot of political capital on. I don't think it will happen. There are people invested in this on the House and the Senate. If it's there, I'll support it. But it's just one of those things that will come up. I think it can be important for this country. At the same time, there has to be a long enough period of time because of the number of people in the House and the way the Senate operates with seniority. I think that the state would be well served with that. I mean, you know, Senator Shelby is where he is today because of he's been there for a long time, and that serves the state well. Term limits tend to come up more when you just don't like the person that's there. And so, you know, I hope that, you know, I can get in the Senate and be the kind of senator that people say, nah, yeah, we're good. We're good, Doug. You just stay as long as you want to.
Well, this dovetails a little bit with what I wanted to ask next. And that's the idea that if you are elected, you would be a Democrat in a Republican-controlled Senate, narrowly Republican-controlled, but still controlled by the other party. You'd also be very low on the totem pole in terms of seniority. I mean, how can you accomplish what you want to accomplish given that?
Well, it's a great question. And in normal circumstances, I think it would be very, very difficult. But candidly, I think this election has gotten to taking on such importance that when I believe that when you see a moderating voice from the South who will sit there and try to reach across the aisle and not be a sure vote for any party, okay, and no one, whether it's the president or Senator Schumer or Senator McConnell, should take my vote for granted either way. I grew up with Senator Heflin from Alabama a long time ago, and he taught me then that, you know, your first constituency is the folks of the state and the country. It's not a political party. It's not a political leader. It's not a president. And so I think I'm going to be uniquely situated to be able to do that, a moderating Democratic voice from the South. I don't think Roy Moore can do that. I think he will be ineffective. He is challenging his own party. He is challenging the Democrats. He would be throwing chaos into chaos. But I think there's going to be such an interest now. And the folks who I've worked with here in this state, members of the delegation now, Senator Shelby, who I've known for 40 or 50 years at this point, not 50. I would only be 13, I guess, but at least 40 years since I was in college and law school, know me, and they know how I can work. And so when you've got somebody like that coming up, I think it gives the state of Alabama a unique opportunity to have a different face that we haven't had in a long time. And it's one of respect. It's one that would be good for business. It's one that's going to be unifying and healing. And I think that voice coming from the state of Alabama could have such a ripple effect across the country.